Public policy affects every aspect of your life, from the roads near your home and the lakes in your city, to education and health, to international trade and foreign policy. If you want to understand this interplay of politics, economics, polity, and governance, Takshashila Institution's public policy courses are made just for you. The 12-week graduate certificate program gives you a window into the basics of public policy. You can choose to explore the areas of defense and foreign affairs, tech and policy, or advanced public policy. The course is completely online and is conducted on weekends, making it a perfect fit for working professionals. The applications for the May 2024 cohort are now open. Visit school.takshashila.org.in. For more information, visit www.school.takshashila.org.in or click the link in the show notes.
Welcome to All Things Policy, a daily podcast by the Takshashila Institution. We are a bunch of policy nerds based in Bengaluru, and we like bringing fresh perspectives to Indian affairs and Indian perspectives to global affairs. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and join us for today's chat.
The Union government recently passed a legislation called the Public Examinations Prevention of Unfair Means Bill 2024, which is aimed at curbing cheating and upholding the integrity of public examinations in India. Now, instances of cheating and malpractices are actually rife, including but not limited to paper leaks, involvement of unscrupulous cheating gangs, candidate impersonation, tampering with devices used for administering exams, and so on. And we have seen plenty of news on this front. But how does a new bill actually safeguard the public recruitment system that is integral to solving India's state capacity problems? Hi, I'm your host, Carl Jason, and in this episode of All Things Policy, I'm delighted to welcome back Pranav Gupta, a doctoral candidate at the University of California, Berkeley. Welcome to the show, and great to have you again with us, Pranav.
Thank you so much, Carl.
Yeah, we've been trying to have this conversation for almost a week now, but yeah, we encountered a few technical issues with the audio, but yeah, good to know that we can finally get up and running with the show. So the focus of our conversation for the listeners is going to be on the irregularities in the public recruitment exams, right? And what overcoming this could mean for solving India's state capacity woes. Just to give a brief context, right? So the bill actually comes against a backdrop of a cancellation of a series of competitive exams or tests, such as the teacher recruitment exam in Rajasthan, the common eligibility test for Group D post in Haryana. There was a recruitment exam for junior clerks in Gujarat that didn't come to pass. There was a constable recruitment examination in Bihar, and there have been a few more examples over the last few years. So Pranav, just to get started, right? So in your article in the print, and I know you've written on this previously, so your co-authors, Anustup Agnihotri and Arjun Kumar Singh, you all suggested that since 2019, there have been at least 45 cases of rescheduling or cancellation of, some of these recruitment examinations in various states due to either paper leaks or other malpractices. So what do you think are the primary challenges associated with the conduct of these examinations, right? And interestingly, you point out that this leads to a situation of state incapacity trap. So could you maybe just give us a brief background to this? And yeah.
So Carl, I think, so the basic thing that comes in is that, one, this is a major problem. So as we documented in our article itself, so since 2019, we've been able to document around 45 instances, and it's totally possible that there could have been a few more. And also, we kind of limited our exercise to the last 5 years, but we know for sure that this is a problem that has not arisen just in the last 5 years. It's a problem that has plagued the Indian state across the country over the last decade. So one, it's a major problem. There are many, many instances of this occur across the country. And why the law kind of comes in is because up till now, what was happening was because whenever such an instance took place in, say, some states, the perpetrators were charged under the National Security Act. Now, the National Security Act is a larger act for major incidents of national security, incidents of a violation of public order, etc. And of course, it's a very stringent law. And that's the reason why state governments used to book perpetrators under this law, but there was no separate legal framework for the whole issue. So that is why this law was needed. So that the law should be viewed as some sort of an initial step by the government to take measures against this issue. Now, coming to why is this a problem? Why this is a problem, I would talk about, say, perhaps the most recent incident of this, which is in UP, a police constable exam was to be conducted in February, close to 40 lakh candidates, and the exam had to be cancelled due to paper leak. Or similar examples across the country, Rajasthan teacher eligibility test in Rajasthan, which had close to 15 to 20 lakh candidates. Now, think of the impact. Now, when you have an exam which has so many candidates, the entire state machinery in some ways is engaged in conducting the exam. For instance, the district administration has to take steps. The district administration has to not only create centers, it has to create a whole security system, etc., to conduct this exam. Now, other ways that the government helps, the government puts in, the railways, for instance, runs special trains, if you may know, for candidates to appear in the exam, because often the examination center may be in the district center, maybe in the adjacent district or anywhere, right, or somewhere else. So you have to travel. So the railways often runs special trains. So one, there are massive resources that are entailed in conducting these exams. Two, think of the impact in terms of the state capacity void. And that's partly where we come in. These are exams which are being conducted by the state government for really important positions, mostly mid-level positions, say BDO, the block development officer, tehsildar, lower level positions in the police, etc., where we already know that the Indian state has a problem of high vacancies, the problem of officers being deployed on additional charge, there being high vacancies. Now, once an exam gets cancelled, the new exam, it doesn't just happen overnight, right? The exam gets cancelled, there's a probe that takes place, then a new notification comes in for the recruitment. So essentially, the process gets delayed by several months, or in some cases, more than a year as well. Now, what it also means is that the position for which the exam was to be conducted remain vacant for another several months or another year or so, which has severe losses in terms of performance of the state.
Yeah, no, I think it's actually also well documented about India's state capacity shortfall. And I think Karthik Muralidharan's book actually brilliantly addresses the issue and some potential solutions for this. But coming back to, the public recruitment examination malpractices, right? So for instance, you and your co-authors actually go on to argue that this problem is actually not limited to low capacity states, right? Because you can think of such instances that have happened in Telangana and Karnataka, because in the year 2021, there was also cancellation of teacher eligibility tests in Rajasthan, UP, that affected lakhs of aspirants. So what do you think are the consequences of this malaise, right, in the conduct of the public examinations, both for the aspirants and for the governance system?
So I think before the consequences, when you mentioned the point about this happening in high state capacity states as well, I think it's also important to understand why this is happening. So one major reason why this is happening is kind of perils of high digitization, in the sense that most of the, nearly all of these exams are essentially happening as pen, paper, in-person exams. Okay. Now, which means that the question paper literally has to be printed, it has to then be distributed. Now, in this world of hyper-connectivity, in the world of WhatsApp and internet, even if the leak happens at one location, somebody gets hold of the question paper and manages to put it on. Once it's on WhatsApp, it just goes viral, right? So which is why it is extremely difficult, especially when the exam is being conducted in a pen paper mode, to actually prevent a leak, okay? And number two, like even if, say, hypothetically, it doesn't go viral on WhatsApp, where a large number of people don't get access to the question paper, but even if the leak is localized for some reason, that in itself is a compromise on the fairness or on the whole process. So the exam essentially has to be cancelled in case of any major compromise. And that is a challenge that is kind of universal to all kinds of states, which is why now, in fact, in many states, when these exams have to be conducted, there are often cases of internet shutdowns in multiple districts or even across the state when exams are being conducted. Now, coming to the consequences. Now, the consequences that you also document kind of occur at both levels, at the level of the government, state level, at the larger level, and also at the individual level. So think of this for an individual aspirant, 25, 26-year-old, fresh graduate. That's kind of your typical aspirant for these exams.
Right.
Now, this is an individual who may be appearing for multiple exams, may have to give multiple attempts to pass any single exam. Most aspirants give multiple attempts, we know this. Now, for that aspirant, any cancellation of the exam is an additional, is at least several months, or in many cases, in most cases, an additional year lost in that prime phase of life. So at 25, you could have entered the service at 25. Now you have to appear for the exam 1 year later, 1.5 years later. So it's almost, it's a delay at that prime stage of your life, which also, which has all kinds of consequences, loss of income, etc. These are individuals who are perhaps staying in a relatively bigger city, spending family resources, etc. So it's a major burden on them. And then secondly, coming to the state, as I said earlier, that the state, it's a cost in terms of additional resources incurred, which is okay. The state can, perhaps not that this is costing hundreds, it costs hundreds of crores to conduct exams, but it's still a cost for the state. But more importantly, we have to think of the cost not only in terms of the monetary cost incurred in conducting an exam again, but essentially in terms of the consequence on all kinds of outcomes from public service delivery, implementation of government schemes, maintenance of law and order, all kinds of outcomes where the government is involved and there could be consequences of this.
Yeah. No, I think that was really well put. And like we realize that in a country like India, public, you know, sort of sector jobs are sort of like, you know, sought after. And there's quite a lot of struggle that, you know, an aspirant goes through. And sort of like having to prepare for these examinations. So it is heartening to know that this has now become a political priority. And we've seen that in the translation of this being a bill. So that's, I think, a good first step. Pranav, like what is interesting to me was also, I think one of the things that goes without saying is to, in order to conduct these examinations, right, you require very high coordination capacity. And you spoke of how there's an entire machinery that's involved. But what I found interesting was also, you know, your mention of how there's a lack of ability to coordinate between central and local levels. And that should be considered as a major cause of the irregularities. Now, how is this problem exacerbated by an already overburdened and overstretched state?
Now, as I said, the coordination problem is also occurring at the state level, in the sense that the examination agency, the department or the agency conducting the exam may be located in the state capital. They are tasked with preparing the questionnaire, figuring out notifications, figuring out all the logistics. But at the local level, they are coordinating or they are executing the exam through the local administration, through the district administration. And that's where the coordination problem comes in, because this central agency sitting at the state capital has to coordinate with multiple kind of authorities or multiple individuals or bureaucratic offices located across the state. And we know that that's a problem, and that is a challenge for the Indian state across domains, across various domains of public service delivery. And there is no reason why it wouldn't be a problem or it wouldn't be a challenge for something like this as well.
Now, just coming to, like, you know, there have been some systemic changes that have been made over the last many years in the public recruitment process. So how do you think this has helped in, you know, reducing discretion and, you know, promoting a merit-based selection? So could you just maybe tell us a little more on that?
See, I think when it comes to changes in the public recruitment process, I think we have to think of changes or reforms in two ways, okay? So one is changes or reforms in terms of the larger recruitment process. Like, what does recruitment entail? Does it entail an exam? Does it entail discretionary appointment, wherein, say, you say, okay, this particular officer or this particular bureaucratic level may recruit through whatever medium they deem appropriate? Or so that's one kind of reform. The other kind of reforms is reforms in the process. So I would say, call this bill kind of example of a reform in terms of the process of conducting public recruitment. Now, when it comes to the route of public recruitment, one major reform that has happened is that for many government jobs at various levels, the government has kind of done away with interviews. Now, when you do away with interviews, what that does is the interview stage is often looked at kind of a stage where a high level of discretion can be exercised.
Yeah.
Now, doing away with that kind of changes the game. But what that also does is that it also increases the premium on this exam, right? Because then the only process
that's right
through which selection is happening, the only selection process is conducting an exam. Now, when you increase the premium on the exam, then the whole priority of conducting the exam goes up. Then coming to kind of changes or reforms or steps taken in terms of the process, especially process of exams. Now, there, I would say, and I would like to stress that this bill should essentially be looked at as a first step. The bill is not adequate, and that's also reflected in political priorities because you were mentioning that how this has kind of become a prominent issue, and that is best reflected by the fact not only the bill, but that's best reflected also by the fact that this is one issue on which both the BJP and the Congress have some points in their respective manifestos released over the last few days. And that means that there is some sort of a bipartisan consensus that something really needs to be done about this. And why I say that the bill should be looked at as the first step is that all that the bill essentially does is that it gives a legal framework under which governments can charge individuals who have been associated with an activity like this. Now, that at best essentially creates deterrence, but that even that creation of deterrence essentially it remains contingent on how effective is the government or how proactive is the government in actually executing these laws. So, which is why I think this particular bill as such should be looked at as the first step. But I think we should be particularly interested also in the government's announcement of creating a technical committee, which is going to look at exploring various measures for creating foolproof security when it comes to conducting exams. Because I think if the challenge is digitization, if the challenge is leaking of these papers, spreading of these question papers going viral over WhatsApp, I think even the solution kind of lies through tech, wherein can we say explore conducting most of these exams through computers, but that's an access challenge in itself.
Yep.
Or can we think of ways of incorporating encryption and other security related tech to prevent leaks?
Yeah, no, fair enough. I think that's again a bigger challenge to confront. But yeah, I think as they say, the show must go on, and these examinations are vital to sort of augmenting our sort of human capacity, right, at our governance levels. Pranam, what was interesting to me was also how you spoke of this transition from a patronage state to a Weberian state, right? So could you maybe just give a background to what do you mean by that, and how is this sort of help prevent certain malpractices?
So I think, Carl, when it comes to like kind of the transition from, say, Weberian state and what we mean by this transition from a patronage state to Weberian state. So the idea of a Weberian state is a state or Weberian bureaucracy is an idea where the bureaucracy essentially operates in a rule-bound manner. Now, when we, and on the contrary, we have something called a patronage state. So the patronage states, and especially public recruitment, would happen through some sort of would operate under some sort of a quid pro quo transaction. Okay. Now, when it's operating, and now wherein, say, recruitment, rather than being meritocratic, recruitment is based on personal connections, political connections, all kinds of connections. Now, from there, you want to ideally transition towards something called a Weberian state, wherein recruitment is not only meritocratic, it is rule-bound, the bureaucracy operates under very clear rules, norms, etc. Now, if you have to make this transition, if you have to make sure that public recruitment is not based on connections, it is not based on passing on political benefits, it is based on some sort of a meritocratic system. When I say meritocratic system, it's essentially a rule-based system. Okay. Now, if that has to happen, the key lies in being able to not only define rules, right? You can define whatever rules you want to define, but it essentially rests on your ability to actually execute a process through these rules.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, which is why, and that is where kind of ensuring some sort of sanctity or some sort of due process be followed in recruitment becomes really, really important, because you can have, say, a provision for recruitment, so you can replace discretionary appointments with exams. But if you can't conduct exams properly, or if there are instances of leaks going unnoticed, in which case some individuals can game the system, then you, then how are you actually transitioning to a better system? And we also need to kind of understand that in terms of, now, this is just in terms of what it means, but we also need to understand this in terms of its consequences, because if we want the state to perform well, then the state has to have the best individuals who can undertake all kinds of responsibilities. And that is why we need to ensure a robust recruitment process, because the recruitment process essentially determines who constitutes the state in some ways.
Absolutely. I think that's why, again, central to how a public service delivery can succeed. I would also at this point maybe, maybe just recommend our listeners to check out Amit Verma's podcast with Karthi Muralidharan. There's some fantastic segments on the bureaucracy and, you know, recruitment to the bureaucracy. So that should be great compliment to this particular episode. Pranav, thank you so much for taking time out to sort of like give us a sense of this, you know, problem. And it is a fairly big problem. And it's, as I mentioned, right, heartening to see there's bipartisan support for this in the government. And yeah, I mean, I'll, you know, link the article to our show notes so the listeners can also check it out. Thanks so much, Pranav. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much, Karl. And I think what you said, the bipartisan support is really important also, because execution of these laws or solution for this primarily lies at the state level. So the center can pass whatever laws or guidelines, but because this is a problem essentially happening at the state level, which is why we need all political parties to do something. Thank you so much, Karl. This was really nice talking to you about this.
Thank you. Thanks, Pranav.
If you liked our show, dive into Takshashila's research on technology, strategy, and economic affairs. Check us out at our Twitter handle at takshashilainst or our website takshashila.org.in.